Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday, and last week, there is one thing about the Trump era. There is more news, always breaking, and what do you pick? How can you go with a 30-minute show that we have once a week? Well, this week's show is about Trump and the economy, and we're going to get to that, but we got to, what about North Korea? Now, you know, last week's show was about could a miracle actually happen in North Korea? Well, there was a small miracle because, you remember, we got three Americans home last week, welcomed home 2 a.m, Secretary of State Pompeo brought them back after negotiating, getting things ready, and they have set a date, June the 12th, in Singapore. Trump is set to meet with the U.S.-North Korea summit. Going to meet Kim Jong-un. And will something big happen? Go back to last week's show. We asking, can a miracle happen? Might happen. But the hostages, the prisoners, were set free. They should have never been in prison in the first place, and like the president mentioned, we don't want to forget the family of Otto Warmbier, who was basically practically killed in the prison there in North Korea, and should have never been put in prison. So we know it's a wicked government in North Korea, but we're talking. I think all this is driving the liberals absolutely crazy. I mean, they just, you know, there's one of them was talking about how everything was set up for a photo op. Well, if the president wanted a photo op, he wouldn't have been there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think he was happy to get these prisoners back. And as he pointed out, we didn't send $1.8 billion in cash like President Obama did to Iran, and we should never pay for hostages. And to this day, Obama will declare he didn't pay for hostages. But why did a plane have to land with $1.8 billion in American cash before hostages were sent back? I mean, I just hate even think about those past 8 years. But now, with President Trump, with everybody still, I say everybody on the left, hammering this president, hammering him. And we mentioned that about North Korea. We don't know what happened. And Trump himself said he may get up and walk out from the table. He said that's what John Kerry should have done before he signed the stupid Iran deal. And President Trump last week withdrew from the Iran deal. It was not a treaty. If President Obama had taken it before the Senate and made it a treaty, then the president would not be able to just walk out. It was an executive order. And all the people were complaining about Trump. Don't you remember when they were trying to get the Iran deal and there was Senators Cotton of Arkansas and others signed letters telling the head of the Alatola, whatever he is there in Iran, telling him that, hey, look, this is an executive order. It's not a treaty by the United States Senate, and any president can change it. And they got just hammered by the press, and all the liberals say, leave this alone. Don't be making foreign policy. That's the president's job. And now President Trump has rescinded it because he has the power to. And we'll see how that works out. But that's what I was talking about. There's so much news in a week's time. And CNN, if they had a clue, they could cover the news instead of trying to be an anti-Trump resistant organization and spending all their time some porn stars and the lawyer of porn stars. And it's not even, you know, it's not even worth flipping through the television just to see what's on CNN anymore. I mean, it's just I think it's a counseling session for the anti-Trumpers. But going on this show, one thing that President Trump is starting to do, he went last week to Indiana. We could play some clips trying to rally some people up. And we had the midterm elections are shaping up. There were primaries last week in Indiana, West Virginia. And pretty much the Republicans got what they want. There was a wild ball candidate in the West Virginia Senate race, and that's a seat the Republicans think they got a good shot at, even though Democrat Senator Manchin has been a formidable politician there in West Virginia as governor and senator. But the Republicans, in a three-way race, they got, I believe it was Morrissey, state attorney general there, that will run against Manchin, and he has a good shot at it. So they got that. In Indiana, there were two congressmen running, two people who are in Congress now in the state of Indiana running for a Senate primary, but both of them got beat, and a businessman, Mike Braun, ended up winning. And I'm going to play a clip from the rally last week in Indiana. You can see what President Trump's trying to do. It's get people fired up to get out in the midterm elections. This rally should scare the Democrats to death. The Democrats still believe there's just a handful of people who like Trump, and they've tried their best to separate Trump from his firm supporters. But listen to this rally, and at the end, I'm going to play a couple minutes and talk about Mike Braun, who did win and is in the primary. And at the very end, you'll hear the people shouting, "Drain that swamp." But take a listen to this, because I believe President Trump is going to help get people rallied up, the Republicans rallied up for this upcoming midterm election. So take a listen to this clip, and I'll break in. You'll hear a little bit how President Trump rallies the crowd up, and then he'll talk about sleeping Joe, and that's Joe Donnelly, the senator there in Indiana. At this point, he's a Democrat, and that's one that the Republicans hope they can win in November. But take a listen, and at the end, take a listen as the crowd is yelling, "Drain that swamp." Now, the Democrats really, really ought to be afraid when they realize there's a packed house there, and there's some people out in the country that like President Trump. You know, they always underestimated Ronald Reagan. And I think they're still, they believe, they listen to their own newscast, and they believe America hates Donald Trump and is embarrassed by him. Take a listen, see what you think.
We defend the right to self-defense. Never believe that your Second Amendment is not under siege. We believe that a strong nation must have strong borders. We have pride in our history and respect for our great American flag. And we put our large, beautiful hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, right? And we proudly stand, all the time we stand, because we love that sound. We stand for our national anthem at all times. But if we're going to defend our values, we need people in Washington who share our values. Democrats, like Sleepin' Joe, say one thing when they're in Elkhart, and then they go to Washington and vote for the radical liberal agenda. It never, ever fails. You know, there's about 12 of them. You think you have the vote, and they talk a good game, but they always raise their hand for the radical left of Nancy Pelosi. Always. The Center for Effective Lawmaking named Joe Donnelly the least effective Democrat lawmaker in the United States Senate. I don't know, Mike, but I think that will be a very good phrase to run by. He's never sponsored a bill that has become a law. This November, Indiana will face an important choice. You can send a really incredible swamp person back to the Senate, like Joe Donnelly, or you can send us Republicans like Mike Braun to drain the swamp.
Now, you just have to say, there's nothing quite like a Donald Trump rally, and I've been to one back before the election, and there is something charismatic about Donald Trump. He got elected, and the news media just cannot stand it. I remember last week, there's an article, George Will, conservative, always been a conservative, but he's a never-Trumper, and not only does he not like Donald Trump, now he's blaming Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, for just backing up Donald Trump. He's getting on to Mike Pence. These never Trumpers are just, they may waste away in their own hatred. But and then John Meacham is saying, the author John Meacham has written a lot of books, Andrew Jackson, other presidents. You'd think he might appreciate Donald Trump, since he wrote a book about Andrew Jackson. But no, he had a Sure America that history shows. He had an article in the USA Today says history shows America will survive the Trump era. I just have to say, when you hear what President Trump was saying there with the crowd in Indiana, you just have to wonder if the Democrats are still laughing or they're getting scared. Because the midterms, where they were supposed to be a blue wave, and many of them think there's still this blue wave coming. Well, you know, what would happen if that wave turned red? I mean, could it happen? We're a few months out, but, you know, everything could fall apart between now and then. But what if North Korea deal works out? What if the economy keeps chugging away? What if people start getting better jobs and better pay? What if? Could there be a red wave? Well, I know the Democrats don't want to think about it. And we're going to talk about Trump and the economy on the second part of the show. But before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I just want to remind you, yes, we do have books, still have books. You can go to the website, www.docholliday.org, docholliday.org. And you can order the book. One of them called the Bedrock Truth, and I wrote that with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, and we put together the things we believe that help has made America great, and these unshakable foundations, even though the liberals are shaking at them, we need to hold firm, stand fast with the Judeo-Christian values that were given in this nation. So you can order that book right there at www.docholiday.org. Now, we are going to get about the economy. Before we do, I just have to play this one thing. James Comey, FBI director, and we've talked about him some, but one thing in one of his, went on his book tour, the thing he said he didn't like about this president, said this president just doesn't laugh. There's no laughter. He doesn't have humor. You know, I'm thinking, I've been to Trump rallies. I've heard humor at every one of them. I guess what James Comey is exposing himself, that he doesn't know anything about Trump. I don't think he does, because if he did, he would never say something like that. I mean, just listen to this humor. I'm going to play this clip, and then we'll go into Trump and the economy. But listen to this clip last week in Indiana when he's talking about Bobby Knight, the famous basketball coach for Indiana University, and they won the national championship more than once, several times. Hoosier country, and that's their coach, Coach Bobby Knight. So listen to this little clip and see if it's not funny to you. It's funny. James Comey. Somebody send this clip to James Comey, because this president has humor and he's fun to listen to. Take a listen.
How great is Coach Bobby Knight? How great. Oh, we love our coach. Remember he came in? He called me before I was running. I didn't know him. They said, Bobby Knight's on the phone. I said, what does he want with me? I never announced. I was thinking, but I guess he read. And he said, Mr. Trump, I hope you're going to run. I said, check and see whether or not this is Coach Knight. But actually, when I heard that voice, I knew it was Coach Knight. You can't duplicate that. And I took his number. I said, Coach, I'm thinking about it. He said, you're gonna win. If you run, and does he know about winning? And if you run, you're going to win. So anyway, I put his number down, and I was coming to this area. By that time, we had a big lead. But they said, Indiana. And a friend of mine said, if you could get Coach Knight, that would be a great thing. I said, you know, he called me like a year ago. Let me see if I can find his number. And on my left, I had a pile of papers like this high. And I said, let me see. I lifted up thousands of pages of junk. Some actually pretty important. And I lifted it up, and there's this little thing. Bobby Knight's cell phone number. Isn't that great? And I go, bum, 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 ba, 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 ba. And he picks up the phone, and he said, I've been waiting for you to call. Believe that? And he came here, and we sold, I don't know what the hell that arena was, but it was a big one. And they went crazy.
Now, don't tell me that Donald Trump doesn't have any humor. James Comey, I mean, he's just on a tour to bash Trump, talking about the FBI and his book and his friend Robert Mueller. I mean, it's just obvious that there's a hatred for Donald Trump, no respect for the president. And like they said, Trump should have fired him a long time before he did. But Comey is just wrong. This president has humor, and he does it throughout his speech. I mean, does he want a quaint little joke that Ronald Reagan told? Well, that's not his style. Trump has humor. He laughs. He's full of humor. And he was real obvious when he's happy. We'll get ready now for this is what I was talking about, Trump and the economy. I got some things I want to say that I have not heard any pundit say. I don't want to be a pundit, but there's something that's going on between stock market and tariffs and the Federal Reserve Board, and there's things that you need to know that I hadn't heard anybody say, but I'm going to tell you about it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics after I play this clip when President Trump is happy, is buoyant, and talking about the good news in the economy. Take a listen to this.
If we would have told you during the campaign that we would create 3.3 million jobs in this short time, everybody back there, the fake news media, look at all of them. Fake news. Everybody back there would have said, can you imagine? He's saying we're going to create 3.3 million. Can you believe it? We would have been, but you know what? We understand. We understand. And today, in the history of our country, just came out, right? We have the most jobs available in the history of our country. Just came out. I like that. We like that. We like that a lot. Because we have a truly great country, and I've been promising you those kind of numbers. The unemployment rate is at the lowest level since the turn of the century. African American unemployment has reached the lowest level in the history of our country. Remember, I used to read stats. Hispanic, African-American stats. And I'd read, and it said, high crime rate, lousy education, this. I'd read like six. And one day in front of a massive crowd, 25, 30,000 people, I said, vote for me. What the hell do you have to lose? And you know what? They did. And my people all said, oh, that was not nice. I said, it's true. Because the Democrats, who are just obstructionists, that's all they can do. The Democrats have had a lock on the Hispanic vote, and they've had a lock on the African American vote. No longer. So the Hispanic unemployment, likewise, is the lowest, think of it, in the history of our country. It's the lowest. So you have African American, Hispanic, women. Do we love women? Women. The lowest unemployment rate in 18 years. I'm sorry we didn't make it in history, but we're catching it. It'll soon happen. I'm disappointed with that. Can you imagine? My most disappointing stat is women. It's the lowest unemployment rate in 18 years because all of the others are history. But I have a feeling the women will soon be history, too, because that's what's happening. And all of the great momentum that we're having as a country on jobs, on safety, on security, on our military, it's all at stake in November.
Do you see how President Trump draws it all together? And then he is saying it's at risk in November. And I hope everybody that voted for Trump and those who have learned to appreciate him as president know they better get out and vote. There's always more people seem to vote in presidential election years and not the midterms. But if you really want Trump to succeed, and if those numbers, he says we want to, well, he said in his rally the other night, we want to, their campaign slogan for 2020, they've already got it. Say, we want to keep America great. And it's getting better. You just heard the rosy job numbers. How do the Democrats feel about that? Well, Nancy Pelosi said last week, what'd she say? We want to win, so we'll take away your tax cuts. That's what I guess the Democratic game plan. Go out and tell everybody, we're going to take away your tax cuts. Well, that's why Nancy Pelosi is Nancy Pelosi. And that's why the Republicans are probably happy that she does not want to step down as minority leader in the House, even though some Democrats are calling for that. But let's look at this economy. Now, you can watch CNBC. You can talk to Wall Street gurus. And there's one thing that is, nobody has said that I've known, and you can email me if you've heard it. But we always say we get into an economy, and when it starts picking up steam, and you want GDP coming in 3% and 4% or 5%, but every time you do, then interest rates go up. The Federal Reserve goes up. Why does the Federal Reserve, it's always said, once the party gets going, the Federal Reserve takes the punch bowl away from the party. Well, that's the interest rate. Raising the interest rates as the economy goes. They don't want inflation to go up, so they raise the interest rates to tap the brakes on the economy. Now, what happens? And we saw in the stock market last year in 2017, and we mentioned it here on the show. You didn't hear many people say it, but the stock market went up every month of 2017. And it has never happened before in history that it went up every month in a single year. Now, if you've got any stocks and been following it, it has not happened as well here in 2018 so far. There's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, back and forth. We're about going up at the end of the week. We were starting to get in positive territory for 2018. But they're still way off the highs. But what if, you know, going back to the punch bowl, saying the Federal Reserve, what they do is when the party gets going good and everybody's happy, they take the punch bowl away. Well, what happens if Donald Trump keeps them from having to take the punch bowl away by talking about tariffs? When President Trump gets tough, and no president wants to do that because it's scary to see the stock market fall the way it did. It's scary. And people go, "What? Trump doesn't know what he's doing." What if he is able to put the brakes on the economy so the Federal Reserve doesn't have to take away the punch bowl to keep interest rates more even without racing them up? Does that not give him credit if he can tap the brakes on the economy just enough to slow it down so it won't overheat and keep jobs growing, keep everything in the, keep the, for stocks, keeping businesses able to announce profits? And that's what they've been doing. They've been very profitable. And is that not some of Trump's magic, that before the Federal Reserve has to take away the punch bowl and raise those interest rates very fast? Well, Donald Trump is using the tariffs, the talk, the threat, and put some tariffs out to put the brakes and tap the brakes on the economy. Is that different from what any other president has done? I think so. 3.3 million new jobs since the election. Lowest African-American unemployment rate ever recorded in history. Same for the Hispanics. You heard President Trump talk about that. Wow. Well, drain that swamp. Keep draining that swamp. And if you are happy in the direction America is going, you better start now campaigning, getting ready to get out the vote to help President Trump. A lot of you are in places. I know the district I am in it looks like the Republicans in pretty good shape in the House race. Help people other places. See what you can do to help out and do something by the internet, by other means. Find a candidate in another state that you like that needs some help, a nearby state where you can go knock on doors. Everybody's got to pitch in just the way they did to get Trump elected. It's got to be done in the midterms. And that is one thing with the enthusiasm you heard in Indiana. We heard it in Washington, Michigan last month. There are things that could make a red wave. And you talk about the pundits and the news. We saw it and we've played clips of it on election night 2016. Some of them just lost it and cried openly. If the blue wave that everybody has expected turns into a red wave, I mean, you might see people having to change their britches on election night 2018. I tell you, we'll just have to see. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, we got another great show, maybe talking about Jang Ma-dang. Do you know what Jang Ma-dang is? Well, it's a North Korean term. Go back. We talked about it a couple shows ago. We may talk a little more about Jang Ma-dang USA. So, see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.